You're listening to a Franciscan Voice podcast, your voice for all things good.
Ave Maria. My name is Brother Solanus Mary. I am a religious brother with the conventual Franciscan order, and I am currently assigned to our Franciscan friary in Wexford town. You may have noticed that the first words I said at the beginning were Ave Maria, and you may wonder what I meant. I will explain in a moment. Many of you, I am sure, will have heard of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe, the Polish Franciscan priest who died in Auschwitz concentration camp during the Second World War. In this programme, we will take a brief look at his life and martyrdom. St. Maximilian, who had been christened Raymond, was born in 1894 in Poland. His family were good Catholics, and every evening at home, they would pray the rosary together. Like many young boys, Raymond would get into mischief and try his mother's patience. One day, when Raymond was about 10 years old, Mrs. Kolbe said to him, "Raymond, what is ever going to become of you?" After this incident, there was a remarkable change in young Raymond's behaviour, a change for the better. His mother wondered why and questioned him, and eventually the boy revealed his secret. He told his mother how a reproach had bothered him so much that he turned to his heavenly mother and asked her the same question. "Mother of God, what will become of me?" He then went to the parish church and asked the Holy Virgin the same question again. "What will become of me?" The Holy Virgin appeared to the young boy, holding in each of her hands a crown, one white and the other red. She asked Raymond to choose one of them. The white one signified purity, and the red one martyrdom. The young boy replied, "I choose both." This early mystical experience was to be an indicator that heaven had great plans for Raymond. Raymond's calling from an early age had been to the priesthood. He was very impressed by a parish retreat given by a visiting conventual Franciscan priest, and both of his parents were members of the Third Order of St. Francis. So he decided to enter the conventual Franciscan order. In the order's minor seminary, Raymond was a brilliant student, especially in science and maths. In this regard, we should note that later on in his student years, during his free time no doubt, he sketched out a detailed plan for a rocket that would be able to travel into space. Many years later, this sketch was examined by scientists, and their verdict was that, yes, the rocket would have worked. Raymond had a strong devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary, and he trusted in her guidance. He went on to make his religious vows, receiving the religious name of Maximilian. He was sent to Rome for further studies, and it was there that he was ordained in 1918. By the way, if you are in Rome, you should visit the church where he was ordained, Sant'Andrea della Valle, and the church where he said his first Mass, Sant'Andrea della Frate. I visited both churches and can tell you that they are both well worth seeing. By 1927, Father Maximilian had been a priest for 9 years. In that year, he founded his City of the Immaculate, that is, the friary at Neopokolanov, near Warsaw in Poland, on land donated by a local prince. The first inhabitant of Neopokolanov was the Blessed Virgin Mary herself. Her statue was set up on the vacant land. This friary eventually housed one of the largest religious communities in the world, over 750 friars. There, the friars worked in shifts on a large printing press, in an effort to keep up with the increasing demand for the various Marian publications, such as The Night, that were published by the friary. However, the centre, the heart of the City of the Immaculate, was the chapel. In the chapel, the friars spent at least 4 hours a day in community prayers and meditation. During work time, silence and recollection were the norm. The Blessed Virgin Mary was constantly in the hearts of the friars. Whenever they did speak, they greeted one another with the words, Ave Maria. By doing this, they were greeting the presence of Mary in each other. Hence the words I opened with in tonight's program. Like St. Francis himself, Father Maximilian was always charitable towards the sick friars. Every day he would visit them, and he was often heard to say, "The sick friars do the most work." Community poverty was strictly observed in the friary. However, the best and most modern equipment was used for the cause of the Immaculata, and there is no contradiction in that. The story is related that one day a visiting priest stopped before one of the huge rotary presses in the printing plant and asked Father Maximilian a question. If St. Francis were alive today, what would he say about these expensive printing machines? Father Maximilian was quick to reply, "Why, he would roll up his sleeves like these good brothers and turn the presses at full speed, using this modern means of spreading the glory of God and the Immaculata." Regarding Father Maximilian's observance of poverty, I would like to relate to you a story that was told to me during my novitiate some years back. It was in the early days before Neopokalanov, and Father Maximilian was outlining plans for one of his building projects. The Minister General, Father Bede Hess, was visiting Poland and was present in the friary. Father Bede questioned Father Maximilian as to how the insurance costs would be met. Father Maximilian simply replied that divine providence would be his insurance policy. Now, Father Bede was a very learned and holy man. In later years, he would tell this story against himself, saying, "I deserved the correction." After the war, the canonization process for Father Maximilian began, and Father Bede was one of the many who gave testimony in Father Maximilian's favour. Father Maximilian wanted to open up a house in China, and he and several other friars travelled to the Far East in 1930 for this purpose. However, at that particular time, it was just not possible to open up a house in China. So Father Maximilian and two of the friars travelled across to nearby Japan, arriving in the city of Nagasaki. Their first act was to pay a visit to the local church, to give thanks for their safe arrival. In front of the church was a statue of the Immaculata, as though to welcome them. Father Maximilian took this as a good sign and predicted, "Our future work here will be very fruitful." Father Maximilian set about producing the Night magazine, just like in Neopokalanov. One of the friars was assigned by Father Maximilian to learn how to typeset the magazine in the complex Japanese alphabet. The Night magazine became the first publication in Japanese to be typeset by a European. The circulation of the magazine continually increased, and it eventually became the largest Catholic publication in Japan, bringing about many conversions to the faith. The life of work and prayer continued in Nagasaki as in Neopokalanov. The Buddhist religion is very widespread in Japan, and Buddhist monks would come to visit the friary. These monks were well received by Father Maximilian. Listeners should remember that ecumenical encounters such as this were not so common in the days before the Second Vatican Council. These Buddhist monks were very impressed with Father Maximilian and the friars. The friars soon outgrew their friary and needed to move to a bigger building. They found a piece of land situated on the steep slopes of Mount Hikkōsan on which to build a new friary. The move took place in 1931, and the new friary was named Mugenzai no Sono, which translates as Garden of the Immaculate. A large statue of the Immaculata was placed on the highest point of the property. It turned out to be providential that Father Maximilian did not build his Garden of the Immaculate in the centre of Nagasaki, in the Catholic Urami district. On the 9th of August 1945, this area was completely destroyed by the terrible atomic bomb. The Garden of the Immaculate, however, was untouched, protected by the mountain that separated it from the centre of the explosion. On the 1st of September 1939, Poland was invaded by Germany. Neopokalanov was taken over by the invading army, and the remaining friars, including Father Maximilian, were deported to a detention camp in Germany. However, after some months, they were allowed to return to Neopokalanov. Alas, freedom was not to last very long for Father Maximilian. On the 17th of February 1941, the Gestapo arrived at Neopokalanov to arrest him. Before long, he was being transported to the infamous Auschwitz concentration camp. In Auschwitz, Father Maximilian, now prisoner number 16670, was assigned to a work group of prisoners under a capo, or a guard. A capo was in reality a common criminal. This particular capo was cruel to the prisoners, especially priests. He seemed to have a particular hatred for Father Maximilian and used to beat him severely. Despite his harsh treatment, Father Maximilian always found time to give spiritual help to his fellow prisoners. As well as hearing confessions, he would hold spiritual conferences secretly. Eyewitnesses have testified that Father Maximilian held the undivided attention of these poor, starving prisoners. Father Maximilian was not destined to live very long in Auschwitz. One day, in July of the same year, 1941, it was announced by the camp's brutal SS officer, Colonel Fritsch, that a prisoner had escaped. Fritsch ordered the remaining prisoners to line up in the hot weather, and should the escapee not be found, he would choose 10 of them to die in the infamous starvation bunker. One of the men eventually chosen cried out in the Polish language, "Oh, my wife, my poor children, I will never see them again." Suddenly, there was a commotion in the ranks. A small, frail prisoner had broken ranks and stepped forward without permission. The prisoner approached Fritsch, removed his cap, and said in a low voice, "Please, Herr Commandant, I would like to take the place of that man." The commandant turned to his fellow SS officer and demanded, "Who is this man? What is this all about?" The prisoner, number 16670, replied, "I am a Catholic priest and I want to take his place." Incredibly, the commandant accepted the offer. This goes to show us that even the devil obeys God. So Father Maximilian joined the other 9 condemned men, whilst the man he saved rejoined the ranks. The 10 condemned prisoners were sent to the starvation bunker. However, the Nazi jailers were not this time to hear the usual howling and curses from the bunker. Instead came the sound of prayers and hymns, as Father Maximilian prepared his fellow condemned men for the next life. 2 weeks went by. On the 14th of August, the eve of the Assumption, only 4 men were still alive. Of these 4 men, Father Maximilian was the only one still conscious. Father Maximilian was seated in a corner. When he saw the executioner approach with a syringe containing the poison that would kill him, he uttered a prayer and lifted his arm to the killer. Then Father Maximilian, the martyr of charity and the hero of Auschwitz, passed on to his heavenly home with a serene expression on his face. Maximilian Mary Kolbe was beatified as a confessor in 1971 by Pope Paul VI. 11 years later, in Rome, another great son of Poland, Pope St. John Paul II, proclaimed Maximilian a saint. A point of interest here: Crowds at the canonization in St. Peter's were in for a pleasant surprise when the Pope came out for the ceremony. He was wearing red vestments, the vestments a priest wears when celebrating the Mass of a martyr. Pope John Paul would not only proclaim Father Maximilian a saint, he would proclaim him a martyr. Today, St. Maximilian is often invoked as a patron of prisoners and a patron of drug addicts. Listeners may be wondering what happened to the man whose life was saved in Auschwitz when Father Maximilian stepped into his place. The man's name was Francis Gajowniczek. He survived the war and was reunited with his wife. Sadly, however, he never did see his children again. They had been killed during the Warsaw Uprising. Mr. Gajowniczek attended both the beatification and the canonization ceremonies for Father Maximilian. He spent the rest of his life travelling the world, giving testimony about St. Maximilian. He visited Ireland in 1990 and addressed over 5,000 pilgrims in Knock. A conventual Franciscan priest, Father James McCurry, accompanied Mr. Gajowniczek on many of these travels. Father McCurry tells us the story of one occasion. On this particular day, Mr. Gajowniczek began to look tired. Father McCurry asked him whether he would like to rest that day rather than travel to the planned speaking engagement. Mr. Gajowniczek shook his head and replied no. The debt still has to be repaid. Francis Gajowniczek died in 1995. I do hope you have enjoyed this programme on St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe. St. Maximilian was a profound theologian and left us a wealth of spiritual teaching, in particular relating to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Hopefully, in future programmes, we will take a look at his spiritual legacy. So, until our next programme, this is Brother Solanus saying thank you for listening. God bless, and Ave Maria.
To find other episodes and more content from Franciscan Voice, follow us at our website at franciscanvoice.org.